It's Luke chapter 23, verses 39 through 43. Luke chapter 23, verses 39 through 43. One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. "Aren't you the Christ? Save yourself and us." But the other criminal rebuked him. "Don't you fear God?" he said. "Since you are under the same sentence, we are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said to Jesus, "Remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus answered him, "I tell you the truth, today you will be with me in paradise." May the Lord add his blessings, and let's have a word of prayer. Dear Lord, we thank you so much for your scripture lesson this morning. Thank you that we can give our hearts and lives to you, and we will be with you in paradise someday. We thank you so much for your love and kindness towards us. We pray that we may walk each day for you and tell others about you. Our country's in need of a Savior. Our country's in need of walking a closer walk with you. We pray for our country today. Please help us to be a shining light amongst our community and around the world. Thank you for this day. We pray for the offering today, Lord, that it will be used to honor and glorify you. In Jesus' name, amen.
It was interesting this week, I was watching a news program and a commentator on it was asking two different guests he had about different views of the country, and especially after the election. We all have our own ideas about what we would have liked to see or who we wanted to see get in or whatever, but the question he was asking is what needed to be done, and one of the guests was talking about different government programs and how the federal government hadn't done this or hadn't done that, and the other commentator who was with certain foundation, I'm not sure the name of it, then expressed his view that what the country needed, and it wasn't all the government programs in the world weren't going to help. What was going to help was a change of heart, and that Christ was what was needed. And that was laughed off and kind of made fun of course, but that's exactly right, isn't it? And where does it start? I mean, I'm the first one to get out there and blame this or that for some of the problems, but it starts right here, doesn't it? And that's what this group of songs this morning is about. It's about the condition of our heart, because you know, how can I wonder as I look at myself what's different? What does the world see different about me from me, a believer, and one that is not? Is there a difference that they see? Stand with me this morning, if you would, as we sing.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory, pour out your power and love as we sing holy, holy, holy. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. See you high and lifted up, shining in the light of glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing holy, holy, holy. I am lifted up, shining in the light before me. Pour out your power and love as we sing holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, 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 I want to see you. Holy, 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 I want to see you. Set me apart. I know you're calling.
Until every heart confesses Christ. ever. He touched me and touched me with his redeeming blood. He filled the air.
Also want you to remember, if you would, in prayer, Josh Walters. He is recovering from surgery he had on his shoulder on Friday, and he's home recovering. But do remember him, if you would, please. And then also, when you leave today, keep your head down. It's deer season, so you don't know. They got people coming in from all over. Some of them know how to shoot, and others, you know, just shoot. They got the philosophy of the more lead you get downrange, the more apt you are to hit something. So, all right, good to have visitors with us today. We're happy that you're here. That means, folks, we better behave ourselves, all right? Let's try to put our best foot forward. All right, Luke chapter 23, verses 39 through 43 that we had read for us this morning. There were three men who were being crucified. The thief on the one side was dying in his sin. The thief on the other side was dying because of his sin. But the man in the middle was dying for sin. Two of the three were deserving of their punishment. It says there in verse 40, the one answered, rebuked him, saying, "Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation?" They knew that they were guilty of the crimes that they had been tried and convicted of. The man on the middle cross was so positioned so as to silently proclaim him as the worst criminal of the three. He's dying for sin, but not sin of his own. Of the two that were deserving, both men prayed. The one man prayed in doubt. He said, "If thou be the Christ." One word that cost him eternal life. "If thou believe." He died in his sin. The other prayed in faith, crying, "Remember me when you come into your kingdom." He died because of his sin. One died under condemnation. The other died under justification. One received the penalty due to his unbelief. The other received pardon due to his belief. Belief is a serious matter because eternity hangs upon it. Faith is available to whosoever will. It's appropriated by those who believe. Evidence abounds. Faith does not mean that one must believe in the absence of evidence. Sometimes skeptics criticize and say, "Oh, well, you have no evidence, no foundation, no facts for your faith." That's simply not true, for our faith is founded on facts. The fact that God is made evident by his creation. But when people reject the evidence, then they must put their faith in fallacies. See, it takes more faith to believe in evolution than it does creation. But I digress. Speaking this morning on heaven and how to get there. Last week on hell. I want to balance things out this morning, so I'm going to speak to you on heaven and how to get there. Not only how to get there, but how to get there from here. From Pleasant Point Church, from Sheridan County. How to get to heaven from wherever you might be. How do we know, first of all, how do we know heaven is real? Is it because of the books and the movies that have been written and produced that detail an individual's amazing, nearly unbelievable experiences that so closely resemble what we believe that it simply must be true? Do we just take their word for it? I mean, there's that little book written by the family of the little fella over in McCook area, south of North Platte a few years ago that was very popular, "Heaven is for Real." Now, I did not have to have that book to be written to tell me that or even assure me of that or convince me of that. But I've read the book, saw the movie, and boy, it was, as far as that goes, pretty good. But do we know that heaven is true or real because of that movie? Or because of other people's testimonies? How do we know for sure? Do we just take other people's word for it? Now, we might be tempted to do so, as much as such testimonies may be compelling, but they are just that. They are someone's word for it. We don't know that heaven is real because someone says so or because someone claims to have an experience that they cannot prove except by their word. We have to take them at their word. Now, I'm from Missouri, and our state motto is "Show Me." Now, that may be because of the lack of education in the area that I grew up. We have to be shown a lot of things. Maybe just our learning curve is a little lower than others, and we learn by doing and being shown. But the fact of the matter is that our enemy is extremely deceitful. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 14 and 15, "No marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel, a messenger of light."
Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as ministers of righteousness. He's simply saying that Satan is a deceiver, and those who succumb to his power also are deceivers. Now, I'm not saying that everybody who says, I had this experience, is intentionally a deceiver. I'm simply saying that I reserve the right to question, as we all do, if it is true or if it is not true. So how do we know heaven is real? First of all, we know heaven is real because John 3:13 tells us, no man has ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, Jesus, which is in heaven. In other words, we have the word of Jesus Christ on the matter. No man has gone to heaven except the one who has been there and come back and then ascended back into heaven. Ephesians 4:10 says, he that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens that he might fulfill all things. We know heaven is real because Jesus came from heaven and then ascended back into heaven when his work here was done, according to the scriptures. So we know heaven is real because of the testimony of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, in whom there is truth and no shadow of turning, no fault, no error. Fallen man may make claims, but not verifiable. Jesus was in heaven, came to earth, went back to heaven. Secondly, we know that heaven is real because Jesus said that it was a real place. In John chapter 14, he spoke of his going to heaven to prepare a place for his disciples. A place for you, he said. A dwelling place. He called it my Father's house. We know that heaven is real because it received a reality, the resurrected physical body of Jesus. In Acts chapter 1 and verse 11, as Jesus ascended back into heaven, his disciples witnessed it. And the angels that appeared to them said, why stand ye gazing up into the heavens? This same Jesus that you have seen go into heaven, this same Jesus, as you have seen him go, will return in like manner. He ascended visibly, bodily, physically. He had a physical body after his resurrection. He ascended physically. Heaven is real because it received a reality, the physically resurrected body of Christ. Jesus described it as a real place. He said, in my Father's house are many mansions. The Greek word, not to disappoint anybody, but it doesn't mean mansion like we think of a mansion. It simply means dwelling place. A specific place for you to dwell. Now, I don't know what it might look like. He might have be preparing it according to your particular tastes, your decorative ideas. You know, my wife and our decoration ideas are not the same. I've learned over the years to just concede and let her decorate however she wants, you know. And I found out that I am happier with what she does anyway. But he may be preparing a place for me that is all, you know, hide and hair and wood, you know, horns and things like that. Yours might be different, but it is a place, a dwelling place, a specific place for a prepared people, people who have put their faith and their trust in Jesus Christ as their Savior. So it's a real place because Jesus said it was a real place. It received a reality, his resurrected body. It is a place described by Jesus as a real place, a prepared place for prepared people. Well, people, who will go there? Surprisingly, not everyone. Now, I know that contrary to popular thought and belief, heaven does not have open borders. While whosoever will may come, you have to follow God's requirements to get there. See, heaven has walls. Heaven has a gate. Heaven has a strict immigration policy. See, they don't just let anyone who wants in just because they want to come in. There's one way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Oh, that's awfully restrictive. No, it's inclusive. Because he said, whosoever will may come. It says in Revelation 21:27, there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defiles, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or makes a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. There is a registry. You have to get your name in the book. How do you do that? By putting your faith in Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. He says in 1 Corinthians 6:9, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. Bad news. But then he says the good news, and such were, past tense, some of you. Some of you who were disqualified from heaven now are qualified. How? You are washed. You are sanctified. You are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. There's a change that takes place when you put your faith in Jesus Christ. What you were, you no longer are. Ephesians 5 says, for this you know, no fornicator, unclean person, or covetous man who is an idolater shall has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words. Empty words like, oh, you know, everybody's going to go to heaven. God is love, and I can't imagine a God who is love to exclude anyone out of heaven. Well, read your Bible. God's also holy. God's also just. It is His love that sends forth His grace, provides salvation for whosoever will. One fellow said, well, I just can't believe in a God who holds a gun to your head threatening you with hell. I said, what about a God who sent His Son to Calvary to die for your sins to provide a way for heaven? There's two sides. Ephesians goes on, let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, don't be partakers with them. For you were once, past tense, darkness, but now, present tense, you are light in the Lord. Walk then as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. So who's going to be there? The redeemed, the saved, those born again through faith in Jesus Christ. It's what you are that gets you in, that is, saved, but it's what you are now, if you are lost, if you're without faith in Christ, that keeps you out. So what you are now can become what you were. I was once lost, but now I am found. It's a place prepared for a prepared people, and the preparation was made for us by Jesus Christ, who opens the door and says, whosoever will may come, but that door has a restriction. I am the only way. What about other religions? How do we know that there are not many ways to heaven? After all, that's what people tell us. Empty words. All roads lead to Rome, they used to say. So all roads, there must be many ways to heaven. Well, if you're going to Rome, that's okay. All roads may lead to any earthly destination eventually, but that doesn't work so well if you're talking about heaven, because Jesus already said He is the only way. Other religions will teach some manner of works to get to their particular idea of heaven. Not everybody's concept of heaven is what the Bible teaches about heaven. The Native Americans talked about the happy hunting grounds. The Vikings talked about Valhalla. Everybody has their concept. Of the Eastern religions believe that if you just contemplate long enough and hard enough, you will eventually, when you die, be reabsorbed into the cosmos. And they're sincere in their beliefs. But sincerity won't get you to heaven. Only Jesus Christ. Some teach if you've been good enough, maybe you will be reincarnated so you can be better enough the next time around. But only Christianity teaches that salvation from the penalty that was paid in full by Jesus Christ is the way to heaven. And it's a free gift from God through faith in Jesus Christ. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. For by grace are you saved. Not of works, lest any man should boast. It's not what we can do, it's what He has done. Only Christianity offers assurance after death. Lazarus, you know the story in John chapter 11. Lazarus lay dead for 4 days. And his sister Martha wept before Jesus saying, if only you had been here, my brother Lazarus would not have died. And Jesus simply said to her, Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Oh, the physical body might die, but that which is eternal in man, the image of God in man, the spirit in man, will live forever. Believest thou this? And she said to him, yea, Lord, I believe thou art the Christ, the Son of God, that should come into this world. See, God has put into men's heart the knowledge that He exists. So, oh, no, not everybody believes God exists. There are atheists. No, in every man's heart, God's word says He has put the realization of who He is in the hearts of man. Romans chapter 1, verses 19 and 20 tell us that. Talks about the creation of heaven, of the heavens and the earth, God having declared Himself through creation, but man having rejected God's declaration. Looks elsewhere. But just as He has made time for everything and every purpose under heaven, God has also made everything beautiful in its time, so He has also set eternity in the hearts of men. Yet they cannot fathom what God has done from beginning to end. Creation is not God. Creation is evidence that points to a creator. Creation is not to be worshipped. Creation cannot save. It points to a Savior. Prideful man, having rejected God's revelation of himself, then turns to his own foolishness to explain the wonders about him. The Bible says, even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. And He describes those things. Being filled with unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, proud, boastful, despiteful, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection. All these things is the result of man having rejected God. They did not want to retain, keep God in their knowledge, so they rejected them. And God said, all right, I'll leave you to your own imaginations. Who, knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death. Not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Romans 1, 28 through 32. See, it's sad that in the United States of America, where we still claim and practice freedom of religion, many practice freedom from religion, and are ignorant of the very God who created them. Many have little understanding of God at all. But they like to think of heaven as a better place where everybody goes when we die. But their ideas about heaven are often no more than vague hopes. Like they hope on winning the lottery. I hope someday. Oh, wouldn't it be great if I just won the lottery? I hope I go to heaven. I hope I win the lottery. You've got about the same chances if you don't play. But if you do, pray, receive Christ as your Savior, you're guaranteed a winner. But many people think about, well, I just hope my good works outweigh my bad works. I know I'm better than so-and-so over here, so I've got a pretty good chance. It's not about chance. It's about faith. Most people don't even give death a thought until they attend a funeral, and they're glad it's somebody else's. It's popular to think of heaven as the place where good people go when they die. And of course, everyone that they know, everyone that we know and love, are included in that group of good people. Now, the Bible has a lot to say about life after death. This contradicts popular opinion. That's why I try to give you so much scripture each week. Since heaven is a dwelling place of our holy and perfect God, sin has no place there. It is not tolerated. Now, unfortunately, sin has barred the way to heaven. Sin has to be punished, or God is not just. The judgment that we face at death is simply God bringing our accounts up to date. And He finds that we have fallen short and passing sentence on our sins against Him. The Bible declares, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. What about my righteousness? What about my good deeds? What about the things that I do with all the best intentions? Yeah, Isaiah said all of our righteousness is as filthy rags in His sight. Now, we all know John 3:16. Let's turn there. John 3:16. We know it. We quote it. Even people that don't go to church have some kind of concept of John 3:16. If they've even watched professional ball games, they've seen that guy in the rainbow-colored wig and the sign, you know, John 3:16. When the football player, what was his name? Tebow, thank you, Tebow, had John 3:16 under his eyes. It got more hits. People looking up on the internet what John 3:16 was, trying to find what's he got. People know it. Most people know it. If they don't, they can find it. John 3:16, beautiful declaration. For God so loved the world that He gave, free gift, His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth, to have faith in to the point of commitment in Him, should not perish, but have everlasting life. To contrast, you can either perish or have everlasting life. Heaven or hell. Your choice through belief in Christ. But everybody knows John 3:16 for 17. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that through the work, that the world through Him might be saved. The potential that Christ gave Himself for whosoever will, salvation. He that believeth on Him is not condemned. But, let's read the rest. He that believeth not is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the Son of the only begotten Son of God. Belief, unbelief. Belief, heaven. Unbelief, no heaven. Heaven is a dwelling place of a holy God. Sin does not enter there. Spending eternity with God in heaven does not depend on how good you have been on earth. God's standard is perfection, and we all fall short of it. And God's standard is the only one that counts. Hebrews 9:27 says, "It is appointed unto man once to die, and after that, judgment." Thankfully, God has provided for us a way, the only way, to have access to His heaven. Jesus became man, took our punishment upon Himself, dying upon the cross, that doing on the cross that which we could not do for ourselves, atoning for our sin. Man has many claims of many ways to heaven, so how would you ever know for sure you're on the right path? What if I'm on this path and somebody else has a different path and maybe that's a better path than my house? Well, we don't have that confusion when we trust Christ because He said, "I am the way. No man comes to the Father but by me." One way is sure. Many ways would be confusing and doubtful as to whether you had chosen the right way. Appointed that the man wants to die after this judgment, so Christ came once and offered Himself bearing the sins of many. So, the people who go to heaven are all alike in one way. Anybody that gets to heaven, we are all sinners. But we've placed our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Recognizing our need of a Savior, repenting of the old ways, and setting a course through faith in Christ to follow after Him. You see, it's that kind of faith that transforms a life. Look in closing, look over to 2 Corinthians. Very familiar passage for some. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. The faith that saves your soul from hell is the same that will transform your life while you're still on earth. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17 says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ," he's a new creature. "Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new." A transformed life through faith in Christ. And it rests in the grace of God that offers this salvation to all men. So is heaven real? Yes, heaven is real. Who will go to heaven? "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him." John 6:47, "Verily, verily, I say to you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life." John 11:25, Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live." With that faith comes the new birth. "You must be born again," Jesus said to Nicodemus. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature, a new family, a new future. How do I get to this place? You can get your ticket today. If you've not already, it's already been purchased. All you got to do is claim it. Got an email the other day from the folks out in, Kentucky, where they built the Ark, that replica of the Ark. Got an email, "Free tickets to the Ark." All you got to do is accept it. Download it. Free ticket. Well, man, those tickets are kind of expensive. Plus, driving all the way out there. Well, I would drive. My wife would fly. But anyway, she could take me. I'd take her to the airport and then I'd take off. And, but I'd rather not fly. Miss too much country that way by flying. But anyway, free tickets. What do I have to do to get these free tickets? Receive them. Type in this number, and through the magic of technology, they print it out right there on my computer. so I can take those tickets and get in free to the ark. Or I can go and pay my own way. You can get to heaven free or try to pay your own way, your choice. But I got news for you. You will never pay enough. Never pay enough. Christ has already done it for you. How do I go? Joshua 24 and verse 15, Joshua said, choose you this day whom you will serve. It's your choice. Proverbs 14:12 says, there is a way that seems right to a man. It would seem right that if I could be good enough, do enough good things to somehow get God's attention and show Him how good I really am, He would give me at least some little corner, some little acreage, some little place in heaven. Maybe I could get just inside the gate, but it doesn't work that way. It might seem right to a man, well, maybe if I would do more, but you cannot do enough. If we could do enough to get to heaven, Jesus would not have come, suffered and died, been buried and resurrected. He would not have paid the price for the penalty that was against us. There's a way that seemed right to a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Jesus said, enter you at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat. Straight is the gate, narrow is the way which leads unto life, few be there that find it. Straight gate, narrow way, one way. See, there's nothing standing in your way to keep you out of hell but the cross. One thief repented, believing that Jesus was purchasing a kingdom. He believed, he trusted in Christ, and Jesus said, today, that very day, you will be with me in paradise. He had no time to do good works. He had no opportunity to be baptized. He was received by Christ simply because he believed. Let's take our hymnals and turn to number 471, if you would, please. 471. If you're able, stand with me as we sing this hymn. If you do not know Christ as your personal Savior, if you have not believed on Him as your hope for heaven to gain, then, beloved, believe me, there's quite literally hell to pay. 471, the way of the cross leads home.